Luke chapter number 4, verses 18 through 19. We've been studying now, this is probably about the seventh installment, on what the Bible says about the church. We've come to some conclusions. The church is multifaceted. The church is you and me. The church is us. The church is a group of people. There's a lot of different ways to define the word church. Amen? So we've been looking at what the Bible says, what Jesus says, what the apostles said about the church. And one of the things I've come up with today, I want to kind of pose it this way, is now that you know, or hopefully know, that you are the church, now that you know that you're also part of the church, now that you know you also attend a church, three facets there, the question that could come to your mind, it comes to mind of most people, is what can I do? The church is not a place to come and visit to say hi. Church is not a come to do, or that only. It's not a place of spectator sport. It's a place of involvement. Can someone say amen or oh my? It's a place to become involved. And normally what happens is when the Holy Spirit starts working in our lives, we begin to look around and say, what can I do? How can I be a more active part of the church? Praise God. We look around here and last week, this week, Brother Ron got up there and played his bass fiddle. I am still amazed by anybody who can play any instrument without a fret. I don't get that whole thing. I'm amazed by it. But we look and say, wow, Brother Ron's got a talent. I didn't know about that. He can use that talent. Amen. When Brother Joe is here, he gets up and plays the guitar, and you know all these folks here, Dave and so forth. And he says, that's really great, but I don't have that talent. Well, obviously I don't either. That's why they don't let me back there. Hallelujah. It's not a talent of all the gifts that God has given me, but trust me, God, that is not one of them. Okay. My mom used to say you can't carry a tune in a bushel basket. Well, I can take a bigger thing than that. I still can't carry a tune. Amen. So what if you can't do that? Well, okay, well, maybe you can preach or not. Maybe you can teach or not. We can look at these things and we seem to think that's the only thing that I can do. And if I can't do that, I can't do anything. Now, don't be afraid here. I'm not going to condemn you to a life of cleaning the toilets just because you can't sing. Though I'm really glad, by the way, whoever cleans the toilets, thank you very much. I'm appreciative of that. If you've visited our toilet recently, you'll say amen. Thank you. You need to say thank you. Anyway, it's just not a matter of doing that. There is so much we can do in all aspects of the idea of church. On a personal level, Luke chapter 4, my mind's on the next one already in John, Jesus went to church. Huh. Imagine that. Imagine, where would you find Jesus but in church? Hopefully you find Jesus in all churches, but that's another sermon for another day. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the temple, and it was common practice, by the way, to invite someone to come and read from the scriptures, from the scrolls. And Jesus gets up, and he didn't thumb through and say, I got to find one that really get him going. I got to find a zinger here. They handed it to him. It was already open. And he looked at the scripture, and he read something important, as all scripture is. He said in verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. A few seconds later, he went on to say, "This today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." When the people heard this, Scripture says they became enraged. How dare this man stand up and say such a thing? You know, every one of us, well, let's just keep going and go to the next one. Am I on? I'm not on. There we go. There it is. Luke chapter 4, still in the same type of conversation, just a little bit later on down the road. He said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Basically, they want him to stay and hang out. And he said, no, I got to move. He says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also. Please look at this very, very, very importantly. Because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. When Jesus stood up and made this proclamation from Scripture, what he did was to reveal his own personal destiny. Are you out there? He revealed, remember I've taught you, and I'm not going to teach it again today because of time, that we have a destiny, we have a purpose, we have a plan. God has a reason for us to live and something He wants us to do. In this scripture in Luke chapter 4, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, "This is my destiny. This is my purpose. I have come here to do these things." And He said something in here very, very important to the church today. He said that God had anointed Him to do this very thing. Now, depending on where you were born again or where you got your Christian education or whatever, the word anointing can have a lot of different meanings. Hallelujah. If you got born again the way I did, anointing had to do with oil falling down your forehead every Sunday and being prayed for. And that's part of it. The anointing, or the word that Jesus used here, I'm going to give it to you and want you to think about it the rest of the service, is the word creo. Creo means to consecrate to the office and to furnish the necessary power for its administration. Now, what's all that mean? That means to be anointed is to be set to do a specific job and at the same time receive the power and authority to do that job. So when Jesus said He's been anointed, He was saying, God wants me to do this and He's given me the power to do it right. Does that make sense to anybody? Hallelujah. I want to talk obviously today about the anointing. What can I do? You can do whatever God has called and anointed you to do. Hallelujah. It may not be a public ministry. You may not be on the radio or the TV. You may not ever write a book. But I'll guarantee you there is a ministry you have been called and anointed to perform. Glory to God. I got a couple of amens. I hope before I leave today, you can all understand that. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what your sex is. I don't care what your race is. Bottom line is, you are called by God to do it, and He's been given the power to complete it and to do it well. Glory unto God. Now, the question you may have, hallelujah. No, that's okay, go back to that. Go back to where it was. Okay, well, we'll have to do it without that then. We should be back on the one that says anointed. Hallelujah. I want to give you a little more definition of the word that's not on the screen. The word anointed, or creo, is a word that can be found on opposite ends of the spectrum of importance. It can be the smallest, most non-essential little thing that's the anointing, or it could be the anointing of a king or a Messiah. It's the same word. It's the same act. It's a pouring, it's an acknowledgement of, and a pouring out of power to do something specific. It can be as simple as anointing a wound for healing, or as grand and glorious as anointing the Messiah to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the same word used throughout Scripture. Hallelujah. It can also be described as the giving of God's gifts to His church. The anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing. Keep that mind. The anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Very important word. The anointing is to be sent to do a job and to empower you to do it, just like the rest of us. Jesus had a job to do. There's no such thing as joining up with the church. There's no such thing as become a Christian and then sit back like a spectator sport. Hallelujah. This is not a basketball game. This is not a wrestling match. This is not a football game. You are to be involved in your salvation, your Christianity, I should say. Excuse me. In this verse that I just read in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus declared what His job was, how He planned to do it. He said, I'm going to go giving good news to these people. How am I going to do it? By the power that God has given me to complete the task. Hallelujah. You've heard me teach a lot about destiny, God's plans for us, okay? Each one of us has one, a plan from God for us. Our destiny, and I don't want to get too deep in this, but I need to touch on it, is multifaceted. There are many parts to one plan. Hallelujah. It is possible to fulfill a job or an office in the church and fulfill a different office in the street. You can have a ministry here that's different from over there. The Bible talks about one man, Stephen, was a deacon at the same time he was an evangelist. Amen? So he served the tables of the church. He also served the bread of life out in the public to bring people to Jesus. Your destiny. You know what a facet is? It's like if you have a jewel, a diamond ring, all the different flat spots, each one's a facet. Our plan, or God's plan for us, is multifaceted, and yet it works in unity that we would be all that God wants us to be. Make any sense so far? We need to be cautious when we talk about the anointing as to which facet, which gift we're looking for. Okay? If we are so busy, and I'm not saying you are, but something to think about. This is mankind. We're so busy looking for what we consider the big ministry. Well, I got to have a pulpit, or I got to have a TV show. You know, listen, folks, not everyone's called to be Joyce Myers. Not everyone's called to be a TV evangelist or a great TV. Some of us are called to smaller things. No less important, but a little bit smaller and less recognized. Amen? We can be so concerned trying to find that gift that we overlook the most common gift of all. And the most common, I'm going to say, is probably the most important. We can easily be led astray or led by the allure of the anointing for some big ministry that we can actually miss the obvious anointing to do the most important job. Are you ready for this? The same job that Jesus did, telling good news. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Maybe you don't. Hope you do. More people, most people, who are born again and stay that way, come to the Lord through one-to-one communication. Thank be unto God for the Billy Grahams of this world. I turned on the TV the other day, and there was an old film of the Reverend Billy Graham, and I was glued to it as if it was today. Such a masterful use of the gift of evangelism. Hallelujah. Perhaps of all of the gifts that we've been given, there's none greater than communication. In this sense, you could and probably should say that we are called, or that we share the calling and anointing of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't expect you to get big-headed on this, but I want you to understand the importance of all the things that Jesus could have said when he declared his ministry, his public ministry. He could have talked about the miracles that would come. He could have been talking about the rebuking of the devil. He could have been talking about the raising of the dead. He didn't talk about any of that. He said, I have been called and anointed by God to preach good news to a certain group of people. Hallelujah to God. I want to challenge you today that you have been called and anointed to do the same exact thing that Jesus Christ was called and anointed to do, which is to go to the poor, go to the blind, go to the bound, and share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who need it. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. The true calling of Jesus, was to give answers to those who needed them the most. Now, I don't want to pick on anybody or be exclusive here, but I couldn't help but notice for the last 30-some-odd years of reading the Bible, Jesus was drawn to a certain class of people, a certain type of person, a certain person with a certain type of problems, okay? And he declared them from Scripture in this reading. He said he was called to preach to the poor, the prisoner, the blind, and the oppressed. That's quite the crowd. Think about that. Think about who needs to hear good news the most. Think about who, in your life, who you know that could use an intervention from God, and you'll probably find they'll fall in one of those categories. Poor, prisoner, blind, oppressed. And then went on to say, I've come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord everywhere to everybody. Hallelujah. He didn't keep himself in one denomination. He didn't keep himself in one specific place. He went everywhere he could find the poor, the blind, the prisoner, and the oppressed, and preached the year of Jubilee. If you don't know your Old Testament, the year of Jubilee was a great thing. Every 50 years, whether you deserved it or not, and you never did, everything you owed, everything that was held against you, it was all forgiven and wiped clean. Hallelujah. If you owed on your house in the 50th year of the year of Jubilee, your house was paid in full. If you owed someone a personal debt, it was paid in full. Whatever you had done, you were justified. It was wiped clean. Jesus came to tell people, no matter what you've done, there's a Jubilee to be had in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and of my Father God. Hallelujah. He hadn't died yet, but he knew he would. And he knew that that would be the fulfillment. It is finished. The fulfillment of the Old Testament Jubilee. Glory unto God. We'll come back and visit that. Well, someone's ahead of me. That's okay. Hallelujah. Not only can we communicate, we have a great message to communicate. Now, let me help all of you animal lovers out there. I run into this not only with, you know, with everybody who loves animals. Okay, I can take them. I can leave them. If they're mine, I'll take them. If they're yours, you can keep them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And someone will always say, well, you know, humans aren't the only one that communicates. My dog communicates. Okay. My dog communicates too. It can tell me, thank God, it can let me know when it needs to go outside. It can let me know when it wants to be petted. It can let me know, which is any minute of the day, that it wants to be fed. Hallelujah. My dog does two things good, and one of them is feeding. Anyway. But in all the years I've owned this dog and come to really like the dog, we have never sat down and had a meaningful conversation about anything. It's pretty much one-sided, unilateral, me talking to it. And it going. So for all you animal lovers, yes, they can communicate. But have at it. Go home this afternoon. Go home this afternoon and get a hold of your bunny. And sit down and have a meaningful conversation about the meaning of Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Hallelujah. If you're the kind of person who wants to hold and lead the conversation, that's ideal for you. Hallelujah. If that animal talks back and gives you input, I want the first phone call. Before you call Fox News or CNN or anybody else. God gave us the ability to communicate and the most powerful, life-changing, future-altering message to communicate to other people. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the message of hope. The hope, here's the good news. Your life can be different. The poor can have riches. Those who are held prisoner by sin and the devil can be free. Those who stumble in blinding darkness of a life void of Christ can now see because of the light of Jesus that will dwell in them when they believe. It's a message of hope to those who are bound by demonic powers of hell. They can be free to live, to love, and bring freedom to others. By the way, you can be also set free from things that control you, foods and alcohols and so forth. That's the message of Christ, and I believe should be the message of the church. Jesus came to preach freedom. Amen? Can someone help me there? He came to preach freedom. He ended that thing, says, talking about Jubilee, is that celebration that's held every 50 years when all debts are forgiven, all wrongs are righted, all things are made new. Sounds a little bit like the Apostle Paul talking there, and all things being made new. You become a new creature. Everyone who heard Jesus read the scroll knew exactly what he was promising. He was promising Jubilee. That has got to, I don't know if we can call that good news. I might have to call it great news. That I am no longer responsible for all the bad things I did. Not because I've become a good person, but because Jesus Christ paid the atoning price for my freedom. And that's something we can share with everybody. Glory to God. The ultimate freedom. Forgiveness. Casting of sins into the lake called forgetfulness. Throwing that sin as far as east is from west, never to be remembered again forever by anybody or anything. Back in the day, one of my favorite preachers was a man by the name of R.W. Shambach. He had that A.A. Allen twang, and he used to preach that stuff. And he used to preach about that scripture all the time about the lake called forgetfulness. And he used to put it this way. He said, God threw your sin in the lake called forgetfulness. And then he put up a sign that said, no fishing, devil. Hallelujah. Devil can't bring it back. Your mama can't bring it back. Your daddy can't bring it back. God said it's under the water, it's under the blood. You can't drag it out. And anyone who tries, they're the loser. Because your sin has been forgiven. You have been washed. Glory unto God. That is some good news. Imagine someone coming to you and paying all of your debts. I wrote that last night with the biggest smile on my face. Yeah, bring it on, God. Of course, I was thinking in the natural. I was thinking about my mortgage and all of the debts, everything you owe, paid for, erasing every bad thing you've ever done. Every once in a while, I get into this funk. And it comes on because I start thinking about the bad stuff I used to do and how I hurt people and what they could think of me. And thank God for the blood. I don't have to stay there thinking about that long. Thinking about, imagine giving you the best of everything that you need to live a successful life, erasing your past, perfecting your present, and securing your future. That sounds to me like good news. Hallelujah. I can't think of a bad thing in that what I just said to be considered bad news. It's all good. It's all good. That's just not an expression for the street. In Jesus, it's all good. Hallelujah. And we, turn around and look at your neighbor. That's the we. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the game with the little thing there. You know, I'm talking about W-E. Hallelujah. The we have the ability to bring that same news to everyone we meet. I don't know if you're getting this. God began to deal with me this a few weeks ago, and I begin to understand that, forgive me, I'm a liberator. God has given me the ability to communicate, and He's given me a word of good news that can bring freedom to everyone who's bound. Doesn't matter what they're bound by or who they're bound up with or what they're doing, the word of God brings life. It brings freedom. Hallelujah. Why in the name of anything would we want to withhold that and keep it to ourselves? Glory unto God. With that said, let me say this. Who do you know that needs a fresh start? Who do you know? I've quoted my daddy many times. I'm going to do it again. He used to all the time when I was a boy, he called me boy. The only time he used my name was when I was in trouble. Anytime I was boy. He's a boy. I wish I could live my life over again. Just erase the past and just start all over again, knowing the mistakes I've already made. But you know what? That's the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the ability. We have the opportunity to start all over again with our sins forgiven, our past under the blood. Hallelujah. Start all over again. So who do you know? Who do you have contact with? Maybe daily. Maybe once in a while. Who do you know that would benefit for some good news? I want you this coming couple of weeks, I want you to start looking into the faces of the people you deal with. The man or woman that pumps your gas. I want you to look in their eyes. Can you find joy in there or do you find trouble in there? The girl or boy who checks you out at the Walmart. I want you to look at their eyes. If you're anything like me, I'm watching the thing making sure they don't cheat me. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do, but look up once in a while. Look at the eyes of that person. Look at your. How about this? Look at your family. Look at your friends. Take a look. Is there anybody that you know that could benefit from the good news of Jesus Christ? I'm sure that you know somebody who's spiritually poor. Someone who's a prisoner to something. Someone who's been blinded by something in life. Or who are being oppressed. And I'll talk about oppressed later. Hallelujah. But I can't think of one person who would benefit from Jubilee. Okay. How about your husband or wife? How about your siblings, your brothers and sisters? How about your peers, the people you hang with? Peers aren't just for school age kids. You have peers, you have peers, you have peers, people we hang with. Is there anybody? Are they all so well off that the gospel of Jesus wouldn't help them? How about our children? I may have said that. How about fill in the blanks? Is there anybody? I'm going to start closing. Of course, I've been known to close longer than most men preach. But in closing, of course, I wrote that down there before I had another thought. But in closing, you do not have to be a proficient speaker, a trained theologian, a Bible scholar, or be able, as the old folks used to say, to wax eloquent. Never heard that expression? I love that expression. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I don't have the best of hearing. For years, I heard somebody use that, and they did it with a southern drawl. I thought they said about waxing an elephant. And I even preached it a couple times. I said, what does that mean? I don't ask preachers. And finally, I got the tape of the man, and I followed his lips. Wax eloquent. Okay, that makes a lot more sense than waxing elephants. Hallelujah. You got to understand something about communication. There's what is said, what is meant, and what is heard. Anyway, glory unto God. Where was I? Waxing an elephant. There we go. All we need to do is to be natural and willing to talk about what or who we love the most. My first preacher gave me a lot of bad advice, but some of it was good. Here's the good part. He said, you need to be spiritually natural and naturally spiritual. If I'm not asking anybody to try to work up a way to throw a witness on somebody. Some people, anybody here remember the singer Carmen? He had a music video, which I loved. Carmen had this way of doing this Italian thing. And he talked about when he first got saved, and he went to a witness to his brother Vinny. And he did it with the Italian. And I went to talk to my brother Vinny. He didn't want to listen. I threw him down the ground. I hit him 3 or 4 times. He accepted Jesus right on the spot. I think that some of the folks I led to Jesus, though I never did that, probably got saved out of self-defense. I'll pray anything. Just get out of my face. I'm not talking about that kind of hardcore stuff. I'm talking about being able to talk about Jesus in the most natural terms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All we need to do is to be natural and willing. We can find ways to give God the glory in our everyday lives. You know that during the week, sometimes I spend a lot of hours in the school systems. And, you know, the word Jesus is almost like a curse. They don't want you to use the word. But I have developed a way with the power of the Holy Spirit. I talk about Jesus all day long and never use his name. I quoted to someone the other day and had them totally befuddled when I was quoting from the Apostle Paul. I told him there was a great teacher almost 2,000 years ago, and he wrote the following in his letter to the Ephesians. And I quoted Ephesians to him, think on things that are good, pure, lovely. I got to tell you something, that's good psychology as well as a good Bible. Hallelujah. And this person never suspected. And he said, well, what good does that do? A lot. I know, because I'm praying, someday that person is going to come back and want to know the name of that author. And then I got an out. If someone asks me a spiritual question, I am supposed to supply an answer. Gee, I'm waiting for the day. Hallelujah. They said, what did you mean by that? Glad you asked me that question. And I can spend the next 3 hours, if I need to, talking about Jesus and how he's changed my life. Now, with that, that's how it works, right, brother? Again, I wrote in closing, so we'll keep closing. Do you remember, and this is not a quiz, don't get afraid on me. Do you remember the last week's sermon? Everyone, oh my God, he's going to test us. If I do, I'll hand out paper and pencil. If I give you a paper and pencil and tell you put it on a standard heading, you know you're in trouble. No paper and pencil. Do you remember last week's sermon? We were talking about Psalm 73. And just a real quick capitalization, the man was discouraged, Asaph. And if you want to go home and figure out whether it was Asaph the psalmist, Asaph the worship leader, Asaph the leader out of 1 Chronicles, you go right ahead and then you can figure out whether David wrote this psalm or Asaph did. Personally, I don't care. Theologians are still arguing about that. Goes to show you they need a life. Anyway, the bottom line is it's in the Word of God, and we find out that Asaph was having some problems with his faith. He was looking around, as many of you said you did. You acknowledged this last week. And they were, he was looking at people who didn't serve God and wondering why they had so much and he had so little. And we talked about the danger of keeping that kind of thought, that he actually got to the point of saying, I've wasted my time with God. Then the Bible says, and this is the point I wanted to make, the Bible said he went to church. Didn't say he went just once, but he went to church. He said, I went to the sanctuary of God, and behold, I saw their end. He got it. One of the reasons we need to come to church is to hang out together, worship together with people of a like faith, and every once in a while, you're sitting there, you get it. Asaph got it. He realized that he was wrong, but here's what he said. At the very end of his Psalm 73, verse 28, he says, after meeting God, after understanding, but it's good for me to draw near to God, I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy work. After receiving understanding, after getting the record straightened out, so to speak, he knew he was supposed to take that understanding and talk to other people. The word declare is to communicate. When we learn something in the house of God, when we learn something in our time of Bible study, when we learn something in our time of prayer, it's something we can share. It's something we can share with others. Hallelujah. So, how can you share your faith? It's actually more simple than you may think. You don't have to know the 4 points of the gospel or the 10 points of this. All you really got to do is be willing to talk about your best friend and how that best friend has affected your life. Hallelujah. I'm in a perfect position where people sometimes, if they're not mad at me, they give me a lot of praise. And I find it's very natural now just to flip that praise as, well, that's because of the change that Jesus made in my life. If I'm not sure of the person, I will use the word God the first time. After that, I define him and give him a name. His name is Jesus. And, you know, in that context, I've never had anybody go, oh, you can't say that in school. Never. Because I'm sharing about a personal experience. It's called your testimony. It's sharing what has happened to you. Hallelujah. When someone comes up and says, good job, you don't have to stand there and preach a 35-minute sermon to them. I probably would. but be willing to give and ready to give the glory to God. One of my remembrances when I first got saved, I worked in an institution over in New York State, and it was an institution where we housed alcoholics. Now, I'm talking about alcohol. I'm talking about Bowery. Anybody know where the Bowery is? You know what the Bowery is famous for? Falling down sloppy drunks. Seriously. It's a street in New York City, and it's almost like a magnet where all the worst of the worst, those who are totally out of control, end up. They're the beggars. They're the ones that are cleaning the windshield. So I worked in an institution that housed those guys when they weren't on the street. And hallelujah. I had many, many opportunities to share my personal testimony with these men who come off the street. There was men who knew me from that job before I became a Christian. Oh, I guess it's after 7 years I can say this now. I was involved in the drug trade over there, not stopping it. I said I was involved. And people who I was involved with would leave, and they come back. Now, that happened every year, but this one year, they left, I got saved, and then they came back. And my one man, Julio, he goes, hey, man, you looking good. You know, the old street thing coming out. You know. And I said, well, thank you. And he's talking about, hey, man, what you got? He kind of figured if anybody this happy had to have been stoned on something. He said, oh, man, you got some weed? Oh, no, I don't do that anymore. Really? You got some pluck? That's wine. No. Oh, then it dawned on me. He said, you know what I got, Julio? I said, what, man? So I got Jesus Christ. He goes, oh, no. But it made such a difference, Jesus being in my life. But to be able to tell Julio and all of the Julios and Ralphs and people of this world, the reason I'm smiling. The other day I walked into a school, and I don't know what happened since the last time I was there. It was only a few days ago. And the person behind the counter says, George, what's up? Well, what do you mean? He says, you're so happy today. Now, honestly, I thought I was happy every day. So I don't know. I think I was getting a moment of revelation of some sort there. But I don't know. I said, but you're so smiling. And I could have said, oh, yeah, I'm doing good and walked on. Just couldn't help it. It automatically popped out. I said, well, Jesus has been good to me this week. And kept walking. And I turned and looked back through the glass door. And she goes, I will speak to her again. Hallelujah. But that same day, I had about four different teachers stop me and make similar remarks. I don't know what it was, but apparently Jesus was all over me. It's not a matter of what you know. It's not a matter of how you can speak. Many, many years ago, some of y'all remember, we got together with the church down at the end of Church Street there. And they had a group come in from David Wilkerson's ministries. Whatever, I can't remember the name of the ministries right now. Whether the group homes for the alcoholics. Was it? Teen Challenge, thank you. And there's one young man got up there, and he was funny. I like to hear him speak. And he described his life in Jesus. He said, all I really want to be for Jesus is a bottle of Coca-Cola. I'm going, huh? I didn't get it. I'm going through my mind, Coca-Cola, Jesus. I couldn't make it. And he says, I just want to be like a bottle of Coca-Cola. Every time you shake me up, I want to spit Jesus all over y'all. I said, yeah, I like that. I want to be that way now. Just let me spew forth. Hallelujah. I want to have enough Jesus in me and be so excited that I can tell somebody else about it. So, this is the real ending. Revelation chapter 12, excuse me, verse 11. You can change that for me. This is not working. Revelation 12, 11. I want to tell you the most effective way, the most powerful way to share the good news. You ready? This is fast forward now to heaven. Fast forward to standing before the throne of God. You're talking with the king. You're not praying anymore. They're there in the flesh. Well, sort of. You're there and you see all that's going on and you hear this declaration. Who's the they? Church. Us. The believers. They overcame him. Overcome is to effectively destroy with the use of a weapon. Love those military terms. They overcame him. Him, by the way, is the devil. And here is the weapons. One, the blood of the Lamb. And the old church said, amen. But it goes on to say more. And by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. The word of your what's a testimony? A testimony is what you have experienced, what has happened to you. It may not be the same for Dave Roberts as it is for me. My testimony is my testimony. It is what I used to be, what happened, and what I am now. Our testimony is a weapon to overcome the devil. You have a weapon that when used, will guarantee you victory over the devil, and when shared with others, will constitute to them the good news that they could overcome as well. I don't think there's any, I've never found anything, brothers and sisters, more powerful than listen to a man or a woman who said, I used to be so bound. I did the drugs. I snorted the coke. I prostituted myself. I did all these things. And one day, I was invited to a church. And I said a silly prayer that didn't make sense to me. But from that day on, I am totally changed. That is testimony. You can refute theology. You can refute philosophy. But you cannot change my mind about what happened to me personally. Hallelujah. You can pull out all your theological stuff and try to argue, and I might lose that argument. But one thing you cannot take away from me is my experience. I got saved on a Sunday. The next Sunday I came to church and I seen my first miracle. And for 30-some-odd years from that moment on, no one can talk me out of miracles. I seen it. I watched a leg grow. It was not a game. It was not foolishness. It was the power of God. From that moment on, Sister Sharon, no one, and a lot of tried, can convince me that God doesn't heal today. Hallelujah. I've seen it. You can't take it away from me. That is your weapon. How God has worked in your life, can give hope that others can expect the same if they'll only believe. What am I anointed to do? We're anointed to preach. The word means speak forth. To speak forth truth. The good news. The good news is I used to be messing with drugs. The good news is I don't have to anymore. Please note my words. I was told by an ex-addict never to walk up to an addicted person and say, God wants to take your alcohol or liquor. Don't do that. And that I said, why? I said, because that may be the only thing they have left. But what you can do is tell them how you used to be fearful and how God healed you of the fearfulness, and now you don't have to hide behind it, alcohol or marijuana anymore. See, that's your testimony. That whatever it is you were into, whatever it is you were doing, you don't have to do it anymore because of Jesus. Now that is some good news. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. You never know. When you share your testimony, they just might want to know more. So if they do, what do you do then? Tell them more. Tell them everything you know until you run out.
What happens when I run out? Do I make it up?
No, you get a friend. Go get somebody else. Go bring them to church. Oh my God, never thought of that. Bring them to church. Invite them to church. I got to say something here. The job of sheep is to produce sheep. The job of a shepherd is to lead and guide them. The job of filling these chairs is not mine. I'm glad. I can't do it. I tried. These chairs get filled when you invite the people you've spoken to. Don't just walk up out of nowhere. I guess you could. Walk up and say, you want to go to church? That's probably a good way to get a no. But if you've been sharing the change in your life, if you've been sharing, you know, I'm struggling with my kids like I struggle with yours, but I'm finding if I pray for them more, that stuff sticks with people. Practical. Back to the Camp LaGuardia. When I left, I had this legalistic feeling that I had to tell everybody in Camp LaGuardia about Jesus before I left. I did a pretty good job of it, but there was two guys left. And they were, you got to understand, these were self-made men. These are men who knew it all and didn't want any kind of advice from anybody. They're tough to witness to. And it was the last day I was going to be there. I was getting ready to move to Georgia. And I was just so convinced I had to tell these people, two men, about Jesus. And I walked in, and wouldn't you know, they were in the same office together. They weren't supposed to be. They were all done with their day's work. They weren't supposed to be. And they were just sitting around talking. So I joined them. And they got talk. I was led by their conversation. They were talking about parenting. For some reason, they thought I was an expert because we had seven kids. We knew how to get them. We sure still weren't sure how to raise them. But we were talking about the kids, and I looked at them, and there was this very serious tone amongst the three of us men. And I says, you know, I got to tell you something. I said, if it wasn't for the introduction of Jesus Christ into my life, says, as far as raising kids, I'd be looking for a rusty razor blade to take my life. And I don't know why I said that. It was pretty. That's not your typical way to start witnessing. But I looked up, and these men had this glaze. I went, wow, we've already considered it. And I was able to tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't know what happened. I left the area. But I was able to, in a natural setting, though I had it in my mind to do this, God made a way to use a very real experience to talk to somebody about the life-changing experience that I've had. Glory unto God. Hallelujah. When you and I have a gift, or the gift, that will and can change the lives of everyone else, we need to share it. We need to tell them. That is our destiny. We've been called to and anointed for the purpose of sharing good news. Amen? So, not only here, in the comfort of our church, by the way, but everywhere we go. Jesus said, we're not going to settle in this town. There's more people who need to hear. We need to be ready. So here's my question. You can flip that for me. I don't know why this embarrassed me, but he did. What would Jesus do? Y'all remember that what would Jesus do? The little bands around your wrist. No, so what would Jesus do? Flip it. He would share the good news. He would share it with the poor, the prisoner, the blind, and the oppressed. I don't have time to teach those four right now, but I want to talk about the oppressed just for a second. A lot of people today talk about possession and demons and ghosts. I'm not talking about that. Oppression is something that happens from the outside. It's a pressure. It's like being put in a vice. You know what a vice is? And the vice tightened and tightened. That's oppression. Usually spiritual in nature, but still that's oppression. Jesus spoke to those people. Flip that again. He shared the good news. What is the good news? Again, it's a time for jubilee. It's a time for the people in your life that you know who are oppressed to be free. It is time for the people in your life that you know who are blinded to be able to see. How is it going to happen? How will they know unless a preacher is sent to them? How will they know? You and I need to talk. Next frame. Unconditional forgiveness. That's jubilee. All debts forgiven. All past forgotten. And a new name written down in glory. That's pretty good stuff. Again, we can offer all that to our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow man. We have the ability, the calling, and the anointing. We need to speak up. There's not enough witnessing going on. There's not enough telling of the good news. I don't know about y'all, but this world is depressing. The whole world. Everyone is losing their homes, losing their jobs, all kinds of stuff. It's bad. You and I have a word that can help lighten that load. We can tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Here's what I think about the Lord and what I want to share to almost everybody. Whatever I have to go through, I never have to go through it alone. That's good news. Next. The church is called and anointed to share the good news. And one more. You are the church. All we have to do, what we must be doing, what we've been called and anointed to do, is to share. People want to hear truth. You don't have to be all legalistic. You don't have to be all quoting scripture. Just share what you know. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you this week. Please don't take this legalistically. I want to challenge you to share your testimony with somebody this week. Maybe it's a sentence, a paragraph, or a lunch break. Share your testimony with somebody. Be listening for when someone says something that you can identify and say, you know, I used to be the same way, but then I gave my life to the Lord. And leave it at that and wait for them to come back and talk to you. Amen? We are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. And we are now bowing our heads. Hallelujah. Chances are, besides being the name of an old song, chances are the person you are concerned about, the person you deal with and want to see their souls saved, chances are they will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ on the 6 o'clock news. More chances are they will not find that as a category on a game show. More chances are they're not going to hear it sitting in the bar or wherever it is they spend their time. Chances are someone is going to have to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Could you be that one? Yes. Are you called to be that one? Yes. Have you been anointed to be that one? Yes. It's time for the church to stand up and say something. I want to stop the prayer there, and I want to say something that's a bit political, but I got to say it anyway. I am so sick and tired of one person claiming to be annoyed or insulted or because of a cross or a prayer while the church sits back in silence. Now, I'm not saying we have to go out and sue or counter-sue, but the church needs to stand up and open its mouth. We have good news. We have the message of hope and of life. We have it. We're supposed to share it. Hallelujah. Some atheist can cause a church to have to cover up its banners and take the Jesus out of there before they can have a baccalaureate service. One person out of thousands. Why can't one Christian stand up and talk about their truth? The only truth that will set them free. Amen? We've been called. We've been anointed. Can we stand to our feet? Church, we have the same calling and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to those who are poor, blind, bound, oppressed, and let them know they can be free because Jesus has paid the price. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we become a caring people, that we would care not just for our own needs, but we would be caring for those outside, those we look at, those we do business with, those who, to our knowledge, are not born again, have not been saved. Father, I pray that you would stir that gift within us, the gift of sharing, the gift of speaking, the gift of testifying. Father, may we use our weapons wisely, may we use them often, and may we use them effectively, sharing our testimony with those who need to hear it. In Jesus' name, we ask you to allow the anointing to flow from our lips to their ears, from their ears to their hearts, Father, as you change them into the image and likeness, starting with salvation and then moving into maturing. Father, we ask that our testimonies would be shared this week with those who need to hear it most. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.